Welcome to the season 2 finale of Snubs and Dubs. We've spent the last 25 weeks talking about the snubs and dubs of the 87th Academy Award for Best Picture, and we are now informed and ready to tell you if the dub was deserved or if there were in fact snubs. I'm your host Kyle Tobiasen, and as always I'm joined by my co-host Jason Miller. Jason, welcome to the finale.
Thank you, Kyle. You know what? Welcome to you too. And viewers, listeners out there, especially welcome to you. This is momentous occasion.
Yes.
This is probably the event of the year. I know we already like had an Oscars earlier. I will be providing a much bigger slap than they got, and you can bet on it.
Great.
Kyle, you look out. It's either you or the cats.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who's that going for? Well, we've been talking about 2014 movies for all half of a year now. How do you feel about the year as a whole?
You know what? This was a pretty damn good year for movies. There were not many things that I didn't enjoy, but all the ones that I'm like, eh, they were only eh, and they still made an insane amount of money. So this was a weird year, because before last year, season, still this year, if a movie was bad, it was bad and lost money. This year, it's either bad, but somehow made millions.
Yes.
Or like was good and had some kind of return.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel, Kyle?
I thought it was also a very good year. I thought it was going to be stronger than it ended up being, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went in with higher expectations than I ended up coming out with. But that's not to say that it isn't a good year. It's still a great year. And I would even say it's better than the year we talked about last season. What do you think?
Well, Kyle, I have statistics to either prove or disprove that later in the episode.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. We did some math at home last night.
Amazing. Did you find any new favorites that you didn't think you were going to find going in?
You know, there were a couple movies that I've been meaning to get around to for a long time that I finally did.
Yeah.
And for the most part, was very impressed with them. Like, I finally got Paddington.
Oh, yeah.
I finally got Whiplash.
Yep.
I finally got Interstellar.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot you hadn't seen that
yet.
Yeah, no, that's huge.
I mean, there's some hidden gems. Like, Gone Girl, I didn't know the sweetest of dick all about. But now, it's like, if I had to summarize and, like, just throw out a top movie from 2014, that's going to be in play.
Yeah.
How about you, Kyle? Any hidden gems in the rough?
Well, I had seen most of them already. Actually, I think I'd seen all of them, except maybe one or two. I think I found more rough in the gems this season, actually, wherein I nice thought reversal. That they were going to be better than they ended up being. Those being like Big Hero 6, maybe to an extent like Chef, or I don't know. Like, there's a few of them that I thought I was going to absolutely rave about, but didn't end up raving as hard.
So
kind of a weird opposite in that. Some of my favorites were reaffirmed. Whiplash is always going to be one of my favorites. I think I reignited my love for Birdman.
Yeah.
I think I'd forgotten how much I loved that movie. And then, just reaffirmed Paddington, reaffirmed the love for those early Phase 2 MCU movies, Winter Soldier, Guardians of the Galaxy. It was a cool year.
Yeah, it was.
Did anything surprise you out of this year?
I mean, there were a couple of things that weren't quite what I expected.
Yeah.
I think the most surprising thing were rewatches that didn't live up.
Yes.
The How to Train Your Dragon 2.
Ah, yes.
The Big Hero 6.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going into this year thinking like, oh, there's some good best animated films.
Yes.
And now I'm quite shaky on that category as a whole.
Yeah. Strange how we both kind of had that feeling, but
yeah.
Well, should we get into it?
Let's dive right on in.
So here's how this episode is going to play out. We're going to start by reviewing our reviews and our rankings of the year, then look at the big winners and losers in the critical and financial sense of 2014. We're then going to talk about some of the other notable films from 2014 in brief that we didn't cover. Then we're going to go over what this year's Academy Awards looked like. As we go through, we're going to give our thoughts on certain sections that we feel informed enough to talk about and give our amendments if we have some. Of course, we're going to end with giving our opinion on whether or not Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance deserved its Best Picture win or not. Then we're going to look ahead to next season, which in fact starts next week. We've also included time codes in the show notes if you want to jump around any of those sections. But without further ado, should we just jump in?
Let's just jump in.
All right.
I do want to say, Kyle, the entire time you were saying that, I was fighting a sneeze.
Oh, nice.
And that was a roller coaster. There was like three distinct times I thought I was going to sneeze, and then four where I didn't think I was, and that one out, as you can tell by there not being a sneeze.
Amazing. All right, so you're going to start us off with our review and rankings recap, Jason. Go for it.
All right. Well, we're going to start off by looking back at our favorite films ranked by the various categories in which we've ranked films all year long.
Amazing.
We're going to start off with enjoyment. And Kyle, one distinct difference between this year and last year was you enjoyed more. You enjoyed a lot more because you have a five-way tie for first in enjoyment. There is Grand Budapest, Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, Paddington, Whiplash, and Birdman. Wow. That's six. Distinctly, that is six.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, like, I think I was just ready and willing to love more.
Yeah.
I think I was maybe a little bit hesitant and harsh on some of the movies last season that I didn't end up giving fives to. And this season, I think I knew and was ready to give some fives to enjoyment, which is why there's so many.
That's fair. And I think some of these that ranked high were locks. Like when you're watching that, you can't go below that.
Mm-hmm.
That said, I only have three.
Okay.
They are all overlap. Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash, and Birdman were all fives for me.
Wow. And all of those Best Picture nominees.
And they're all Best Picture nominees. I hate to agree with the Academy on that one, but when they're right, they're right.
Mm-hmm.
For Kraft, there's a lot. They clearly figured out how to make movies between last season and this one. You sauced out fives to John Wick, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Whiplash, and Birdman.
Yeah.
I have a similarly large list, but with some different movies in there.
Interesting.
I have Interstellar, Gone Girl, John Wick, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, Paddington, Selma, Whiplash, and Birdman.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot, actually.
Does all the movies that I listed for you, do you still think they deserve to be there?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
For execution, we get some new and one new entrant, and then also that we gave similar movies 20 out of 20, so you're going to see some repeat.
Yeah.
But you gave perfect scores in execution to Nightcrawler, Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash, and Birdman.
Yeah.
And I did the exact same.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. But Nightcrawler was a great start to the season because it was a flawless execution.
Definitely.
For rewatchability, you have Grand Budapest Hotel, Captain America, Paddington, Whiplash, and Birdman. I only have two because this is where I decided to skewer Whiplash. So I only have Grand Budapest Hotel and Birdman as my fives.
Yes.
But third place was Whiplash with a 4.5.
Hmm.
And overall, our highest, no surprise, you have Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash, and Birdman all receiving perfects.
Yep.
And I have Grand Budapest Hotel and Birdman both at perfect.
Wow. Cool.
And it holds.
Yeah, they definitely hold. Yes.
Yeah. Moving on to the less knowledgeable people, we're going to look at the critics and audiences of the movies.
All right.
The highest rated films that we looked at from this year. Number one, Selma for Rotten Tomato critics. I will add that was where we're going to start. The Babadook got a 98.
Oh, wow.
And Paddington and Boyhood both tied for 97.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I remember Selma being really high.
Yes.
But Babadook.
Yeah.
Looking back, that was another one that I thought I would like more going in than I ended up liking coming out. It seemed a little bit average afterwards.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know.
My theory with that one is it kind of started a niche. Like, it was out there for its time. And we've seen a lot of movies do a similar thing since, so it doesn't feel as breathtaking. But it's a bit more niche. It started a movement.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's there. The lowest rated was one that made complete sense to me and one that surprised me.
Okay.
Interstellar and American Sniper both tied for 72 and were the lowest of movies we've seen.
Hmm. I understand American Sniper.
Yes.
But Interstellar, I guess I can understand too. It can be a little bit divisive.
Yeah.
There are some weird things, you know, with the love is the answer or whatever kind of plot at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a big ass movie with a lot to digest. So yeah, but I disagree.
Disagree. I also think a 72 is not a bad score.
No.
There just wasn't anything that the critics really hated this year. So even the lowest is still fine. Like I'd watch a 72 rated Rotten Tomatoes movie.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not scared of that.
And like with the way that I usually build these schedules, a 72 normally wouldn't make it into the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with Interstellar, because of just the grandiose of that movie, and I had seen it before, I knew that there was something there. I think yeah. I was just something missing in that critic score.
Yeah, I agree. American Sniper, I mean, I guess it was nominated for Best Picture, so it has to be in there. But
meh.
For the Rotten Tomato audiences, we have a lot more polarized response. Whiplash was the highest at 94.
Nice.
Second was Captain America at 92. And tied was Guardians of the Galaxy, also at 92.
It makes sense that the Marvel ones are up there.
Yeah.
I am happy to see that Whiplash took that top spot, though. Also interesting, the highest score is 94%.
It is. Yeah. The audiences weren't as ready to sauce around perfects. I don't get that, especially for Whiplash, because that was so good.
Mm-hmm.
I get the Marvel stuff because it does have haters.
Definitely.
But yeah, the lowest, though, we are a lot lower than 72.
Okay.
It is Under the Skin at 55. Uh-huh. The audience is not feeling a lot of ScarJo.
Yeah, I could definitely see that one being low on the audience scores because there is... It's a weird ass movie.
It's a weird movie.
It's a lot to take in and get into. And I could see a lot of people. I was going to say a certain type of person not liking it, but I could see a lot of types of people not liking it.
Really? I only see a certain kind of person liking it.
Yes, that's where it goes. Yeah.
For IMDb, Interstellar has been redeemed. It is number one at 86. Mm-hmm. Whiplash is second at 85. And there is a tie for third, Gone Girl and Grand Budapest Hotel at 81. I like this list the most so far.
I like that too. It's nice to see Interstellar up there. I think obviously it was a huge hit for audiences. I do recall it being like really high on IMDb, like even in like, I think it's in the top 100 or even top 50 now. Like, so people love that movie, but good to see Gone Girl too.
Yeah, I'm glad that one's in there. It was a little left field, but I'm happy.
Yeah.
Someone not being redeemed is Under the Skin, last of the movies we watched at a 63.
Yeah.
Next is Metacritic, which has gone a whole different way. We'll do bottom to top on this one. Number three, Grand Budapest Hotel at 88. Whiplash also at 88.
Okay.
And number one, perfect score, Boyhood.
Yeah.
Which I remember during that episode thinking that's bizarre. And now at the end of the season... I think that's bizarre.
Yeah, it is a little bit bizarre because, I mean, obviously there's a lot of great acting, great craft, good writing, and you have to respect Boyhood for what it is.
Yeah.
But 100 Metacritic?
This is perfect.
Yeah,
you couldn't improve anything in this movie. I could.
Yeah.
I did a better job than Also, a bit of a weird one for the worst rated movies for Metacritic, Chef and John Wick at 68.
Whoa, weird.
What?
Yeah, those are like so easy to love movies.
Chef, I'm not going to die on the hill of Chef. You can whatever. John Wick?
Yeah,
though?
No, that's a weird
one. Weird one to get in there. But whatever, Metacritic's reputation has been tarnished forever. Moving on to Letterboxd, this one makes sense. I like this.
Yeah.
Number three, Grand Budapest at 4.2. Tied is Interstellar at 4.2. And number one is Whiplash at 4.4.
Huge. It's pretty rare that we get anything over a 3.6.
Yeah.
I wonder how many of these were actually 3.6.
Everything exists in that 3.6 to 3.9. The worst and best movies are separated by 0.3 on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
Except for this movie, American Sniper 3.2.
Ooh.
Yeah, imagine being nominated for the best picture and the lowest on Letterboxd.
Yeah. Oof.
Man.
And Rotten Tomatoes critics too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
People know where it's there? At. Who knows?
On to our scores. Kyle, the highest three movies you've rated, no surprise, Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash, and Birdman were all perfect.
Yep.
100 emojis. Your lowest ranked is The Theory of Everything at 45.
That's not a surprise there.
The Theory of Everything sucks. My top three are identical, Grand Budapest Hotel, Birdman, and Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
However, only Grand Budapest and Birdman got a perfect 100, Whiplash 98.
So close.
My lowest, also at 45, American Sniper.
Yeah, I think both of us were in, like, with American Sniper and Theory of Everything, probably both in that lower end.
Oh yeah.
Space.
What's funny, both nominees for Best Picture in both we hated.
Yep.
If you look at our scores combined, the top ranked are Grand Budapest Hotel and Birdman at perfect, and Whiplash at 99%. Ooh, man, that must sting. Oh, I did that to hurt you, I stand by it. Heard. Lowest overall is American Sniper, because I technically liked The Theory of Everything more than you American Sniper. So that's our lowest at an average of 49, which is a fail.
Yeah.
Yep. In terms of box office, the top ones, we did not watch many of these for our season. The number 5 was Maleficent. Number 4 was Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. Number 3, we did see this one, Guardians of the Galaxy. Yep. Number 2 was The Hobbit: The Battle of Five Armies. And number 1, the biggest block of busting, is Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember seeing that, and like, it crossed $1 billion, right?
It's
like,
insane. Yeah,
that was a lot of overseas money, I think. I think probably there's a lot of big Transformers lovers over there.
I mean, this movie took off on Cybertron.
Yeah, I was considering putting Hunger Games in, but it's like the third and part one of a finale.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think we need to. I don't know.
I'm so like, it's fine. It's a good series. It's the same thing with like, if a Harry Potter movie was in here, I don't care enough.
Yeah, no.
They're, you know what they are. For the box office movies that we did watch, however, third best is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes at 8th overall. Second best is Captain America at 7th overall. And then first is Guardians of the Galaxy at 3rd overall.
Yeah.
Cool. The worst that we watched in terms of box office return, we had multiple that never ranked that we could find. That would include The Babadook, What We Do in the Shadows, and Under the Skin, which makes sense because they're all pretty small movies.
Yeah, independent. But
yeah. And I mean, a couple of those are from like Australia and New Zealand. Just going to pay for that. They don't take real money. It's not fair. All right, the most profitable movies, similar to the list that I just said for top box office, because it's the same movies, are Guardians of the Galaxy made $538.88 million. Wow. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes made $540 million.
Damn.
And Captain America: The Winterest of Soldiers made $544 million in profit.
Wow. Ooh, nice.
That's some big cash. The worst one, Under the Skin, lost $6 million.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Under the Skin and in the red. And of course, the most important metric of all, the signifying movie perfection, who had the best runtime, aka the lowest. What We Do in the Shadows cleaned up 85 minutes. Tasty. Next was Babadook, 94 minutes. And third place, Paddington Does a Lot with a Little at 95 minutes. The worst offender of making too much movie, not surprisingly, was Interstellar at 169 minutes.
Oof.
That's almost three hours. That's almost 3 hours.
I'm glad we kind of front loaded that, but at the same time, it's worth every minute.
I really like Interstellar. Yeah. It's allowed. I give it a pass. Christopher Nolan, you get up to 3 hours. You do not go over. Time for some advanced statistics.
Oh, boy. You mentioned a little earlier about some enjoyment points.
Yes. Well, we're going to start up with a year-over-year analysis. Okay. And Kyle, movies in 2014 were better by 5%.
Oh.
They were 5% better.
Interesting.
If you look at the average rating for the top 25 of season one, and this year was technically 26 because we watched two Marvel movies. 5% increase in general audience reception.
Interesting.
Bigger leaps. Kyle, you enjoyed movies 14% more in season two than season one.
Wow. That's actually pretty significant.
That's a pretty big jump. I liked movies 10% more. So still more than the average audience, but you really opened yourself to 2014. This was a big one for you.
Yeah.
Looking now at who spent the most to get people to enjoy their movie.
Oh, I love this one.
I like this one too. The worst movie, the movie that spent the most amount of money compared to its average rating, was also one of the most profitable movies still. Guardians of the Galaxy spent almost $3 million per rating.
Wow.
This was a big budget movie. And then right hanging around with it are Captain America and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. So the three most profitable movies also had the biggest budgets compared to like the audience ranking of those movies.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They pumped a lot of money in, but then they made even more. So it's a It's a winning formula. And now, my patent-pending movie score. Which movies have and are the best movie of the movies?
Okay.
This year, the third best movie is Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, interesting.
Defined by science.
How are you calculating this?
Okay, well, it's based on an even distribution of Z-scores of movies. So you take a look at the average score for all the movies we watched. Right. And you take a look at the standard deviation, and essentially with Z-scores, you just get basically points depending on how far above the median and how many standard deviations above or below the median it is.
Okay.
That, it kind of evens things out. So if a movie's rated like 100 but lost $10 million, it evens those out because it takes a look at how much different from the average is that $10 million loss.
Gotcha.
And how much different from the average is that 100 rating.
Okay, okay, okay.
So that system has said that Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, third best movie this year. The second best movie this year is Interstellar.
Oh.
So I need some critics and audiences to go pound sand because this is by science the second best to exist in 2014.
Right.
The number one movie, Kyle, I want you to take a stab at it. What do you think was the best movie to movie this season?
Guardians of the Galaxy?
It's Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow.
You nailed it.
Nice.
That is number one. The worst movie to movie, unsurprisingly, we heard it be echoed throughout the ratings. Under the Skin. It lost money and no one liked it.
Oof. I mean, we liked it.
We liked it.
But
we didn't even love it. We just liked it.
All right. Cool. Was that all you got?
I believe that is
amazing.
Everything that I have for the advanced statistics.
Great. Well, we'll move on. Of course, even with talking about 25 movies, we're going to miss some, especially as the years get into the more modern years. There's just so many movies coming out. It's kind of inevitable that we're going to miss one. We're sorry if you missed your favorite. Here are some of the other movies that were notable from 2014, in no order at all. 22 Jump Street. That's a good one. I really liked 22 Jump Street.
I haven't watched any of those.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, you got to hit those. The Fault in Our Stars, Inherent Vice, Fury, Godzilla, Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1, Song of the Sea, Still Alice, The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, The Drop, Wild, X-Men Days of Future Past, The Raid 2, Begin Again, A Most Violent Year, Dear White People, Get On Up, The Guest, Let's Be Cops, Predestination, Into the Woods, Maleficent, Mr. Turner, Unbroken, and The Box Trolls. Those are just a few. Have you seen any of these?
First, I just want to say it would be great if we could put like that Oscars in memoriam music over the movies didn't care enough to watch this year.
Yes.
I've seen a number of these. I've seen Godzilla. I've seen Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I've seen two of these.
Okay.
which being Godzilla and Hunger Games. Those are actually the only two I've seen, I believe, from that list. Kyle, how many of these have you watched? And further, how many of that was this week?
So, yeah, I actually did do a little bit of catch up this week. I have pretty much seen all of these. It's actually easier for me to mention the ones I didn't see. I didn't watch Inherent Vice. It was just a little too long to fit into my schedule. I also haven't seen Into the Woods, Maleficent, Mr. Turner, Unbroken, and The Raid 2. I have The Raid 2. I really considered it, but it's 2.5 hours and I haven't seen the first Raid either.
Oh.
So I was like, well, would I have to watch both of them? And then I looked up and The Raid 2 picks up right after The Raid 1.
Oh.
And so I was like, yeah, I would have to watch both. So this week I watched The Guest, which was interesting. It was fine. I don't think it was that worth talking about. I also watched A Most Violent Year. That was also an interesting one. I think it was a really high rating on Rotten Tomatoes critics scores, and it has Oscar Isaac and Jessica Chastain, two really good quality actors. I saw Jessica Chastain got a Golden Globe supporting actress nominee for that movie. I don't know if there was anything in there that was that worth mentioning. And the other movie that I watched this week was Wild. It received a Best Actress nomination for Reese Witherspoon. It was pretty good, actually. I really liked the visual elements of it. It was a pretty interesting story. It was clearly based on a book. I felt that because they did a lot of like internal narration because it is about a woman going on a hike, essentially, and reminiscing about her past. And there is a little bit of internal monologue and a lot of flashback. Do I think it deserved to be talked about? No, I think we would be kind of bored a little bit to talk about. There wasn't much to talk about. Of these, I don't actually know how many I would consider slotting in. Obviously, I didn't. I did watch X-Men Days of Future Past when we talked about the Marvel movies. It is a really good X-Men movie, probably one of their best. Did it deserve an episode? Maybe. If we would have wanted to slot it in with the Marvel episodes, that might have been okay. I don't think it deserves its whole episode, though. I don't know. Get On Up was really good for Chadwick Boseman. He had a really good performance in there. I watched Predestination for the first time this year. I explained to you that it was a really weird fucking movie.
Sounded bizarre.
But it was pretty good. Fury is one that showed up a lot in award season because a lot of people were thinking maybe Brad Pitt. There was some like good performances from like Shia LaBeouf was in that, and I think it was fine. It's got like a 70% on Rotten Tomatoes. I think that's reasonable. As for the other animated ones, the box trolls I've seen, instantly forgettable. Song of the Sea and Tale of Princess Kaguya. The Tale of the Princess Kaguya has like 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Dang.
I have never been compelled to go back to it.
Oh.
Song of the Sea, though, I have seen multiple times, actually, and I really do like it. It's very sweet. Animation style is really nice. I couldn't justify putting another animated movie in.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, we would have only really left out either Song of the Sea or The Tale of the Princess Kaguya in terms of what's worth talking about. And I think we just had to fit in other movies. But yeah, I don't know. I think we picked okay.
Yeah, I think you picked great,
thank
Kyle.
Thank you. Yeah, but when I get into the Academy Awards.
Let's dive right into boy.
This is what we're talking about. The Academy Awards took place on February 22nd, 2015 at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood, Los Angeles. Actor Neil Patrick Harris hosted the ceremony for the first time. It's funny, we also had a Neil Patrick Harris movie in this season.
We did, and he was maybe the worst part of that movie.
Yeah. For the first time since the expansion of the Best Picture nominee roster at the 82nd ceremony in 2010, every Best Picture nominee won at least one award.
Aww.
Birdman was the first film to win Best Picture without an editing nomination since Ordinary People in 1980. Very interesting.
That's interesting, but also I get it because that entire movie was designed to minimize the need to edit. So
yes.
That checks. That's fine. Mm.
It is kind of curious how editing can be a pretty direct correlation to a Best Picture nominee or winner. So
it is interesting. Mm.
Alejandro G. Iñárritu became the second consecutive Mexican to win for Best Director after Alfonso Cuarón, who won for Helming Gravity in the previous year. And Emmanuel Lubezki became the fourth person to win two consecutive Best Cinematography Awards, winning for Best Cinematography for Gravity the year before and for Birdman this year.
Oh, man hit his stride.
Yeah. The In Memoriam section for this year featured the likes of Bob Hoskins, Richard Attenborough, Mike Nichols, and Robin Williams.
Hmm.
Bit of a bummer on that.
Yeah, well, that's a bit of a low note. All right, what about the awards, Kyle? All right, how about the happy things again?
Okay, I'm going to read all the way through these awards. Afterwards, we'll come back and see if we have any amendments, but I will just go right through right now. Best Visual Effects. The nominees were Captain America, The Winter Soldier, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Interstellar, and X-Men Days of Future Past. Interstellar took that one. Best Costume Design, Grand Budapest Hotel, Inherent Vice, Into the Woods, Maleficent, and Mr. Turner. We only saw one of them, and it was the one that won, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Brought it home.
Yeah. Best Makeup and Hairstyling had three nominees, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest Hotel, and Guardians of the Galaxy. Grand Budapest Hotel won that. Production Design, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Into the Woods, and Mr. Turner. Grand Budapest Hotel won for that. Best Sound Editing. This is before they combined the sound award. The nominees were American Sniper, Birdman, The Hobbit, Battle of the Five Armies, Interstellar, and Unbroken. American Sniper won that one. Best Sound Mixing, American Sniper, Birdman, Interstellar, Unbroken, and Whiplash. Whiplash won that award. Best Original Song, we had Everything is Awesome from The Lego Movie, Glory from Selma, Grateful from Beyond the Lights, I'm Not Gonna Miss You from Glenn Campbell, I'll Be Me, and Lost Stars from Begin Again, Glory from Selma took that award. Best Original Score, Grand Budapest Hotel, The Imitation Game, Interstellar, Mr. Turner, and The Theory of Everything. Actually, Alexandre Desplat was nominated in two of those, Grand Budapest and The Imitation Game. He won for the Grand Budapest. Best Foreign Language Film, Ida from Poland, Leviathan from Russia, Tangerines from Estonia, Timbuktu from Mauritania, and Wild Tales from Argentina. Ida won that from Poland. Best Animated Feature, Big Hero 6, The Box Trolls, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Song of the Sea, and The Tale of the Princess Kaguya. Big Hero 6 won that award. Best Cinematography, Birdman, Grand Budapest, Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken. Birdman won that one. Film Editing, American Sniper, Boyhood, Grand Budapest, Imitation Game, and Whiplash. Whiplash took that one. All right, some big ones now. Best Adapted Screenplay, American Sniper, The Imitation Game, Inherent Vice, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. The Imitation Game took that one. Best Original Screenplay, Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Grand Budapest, and Nightcrawler. Birdman took that one. Best Supporting Actress, Patricia Arquette for Boyhood, Laura Dern for Wild, Keira Knightley for Imitation Game, Emma Stone for Birdman, and Meryl Streep for just whatever she was in that year. It was Into the Woods. Patricia Arquette won for Boyhood. Best Supporting Actor, Robert Duvall for The Judge, Ethan Hawke for Boyhood, Edward Norton for Birdman, Mark Ruffalo for Foxcatcher, and of course, J.K. Simmons for Whiplash. He took that one. Best Actress, Marion Cotillard for 2 Days, 1 Night, Felicity Jones for The Theory of Everything, Julianne Moore for Still Alice, Rosamund Pike for Gone Girl, and Reese Witherspoon for Wild. Julianne Moore won that for Still Alice. Best Actor, Steve Carell for Foxcatcher, Bradley Cooper for American Sniper, Benedict Cumberbatch, The Imitation Game, Michael Keaton, Birdman, Eddie Redmayne, The Theory of Everything. Eddie Redmayne won that for Stephen Hawking. Best Director, Alejandro G. Iñárritu for Birdman, Richard Linklater for Boyhood, Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher, Wes Anderson for Grand Budapest, and Morten Tilden for The Imitation Game. Alejandro G. Iñárritu won for Birdman. And lastly, Best Picture. Obviously, we know Birdman won this, but American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, The Grand Budapest, The Imitation Game, Selma, The Theory of Everything, and Whiplash.
Wow.
So, shall we go back?
Let's revise this. Let's correct it here. They made some oopsies. There were some mistakes in the field, and we're here to set the record straight.
Okay. All right. Visual effects. You got anything?
Nope. No, it's fine.
I considered giving it to Dawn, but I do like Interstellar winning. I think that's fine.
I really liked Interstellar winning. Yeah. I'm fine with that.
Mm-hmm. And it looks so good even still to this day. I think Dawn of the Planet of the Apes also looks really good still to this day. So yeah, they're looking really good.
Nope, they got that one fine.
Yeah. Costume design, anything?
Nope. Grand Budapest. Deserved it.
I considered adding What We Do in the Shadows as a nominee because I think it has some interesting costume design.
Yeah,
but
that's fair.
I think Grand Budapest would have taken that one anyways.
Yeah.
Makeup and hairstyling, I don't have anything.
Nope.
I think that's fine. The nominees are good. They made good use of prosthetics in Foxcatcher and Guardians, but I think Grand Budapest was worth that. Production design, also, I think Grand Budapest.
Yeah, like I didn't even bother with these ones because Grand Budapest had such a clean win that switching the nominees wasn't going to matter. Yeah. It's Grand Booty, baby.
Grand Booty.
It's got the grandest booty around.
Yeah. Sound editing, anything?
Yes.
Okay.
This one I did make some changes for.
Just because you didn't want to give it to American Sniper?
Yep.
Yeah. I had the same logic.
I put Whiplash in. I don't remember if that was the original one that was in there or not.
I don't know. That's up to you. That was your call.
No, like, was that originally nominated?
Whiplash was not nominated, no, for sound editing.
Well, that is what I swapped here. I took American Sniper out, hit the road, bozo. I put Whiplash in instead, and I gave it overall to Birdman.
Nice. Yeah, I also put Whiplash in. I think American Sniper was worth keeping. I think it had some good sound editing. I don't know about Unbroken. I didn't see it, so I can't really speak to that, but I did also want to give it to either Birdman or Whiplash. I think the sound use in that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Same for mixing. I think those nominees are fine. I would keep it with Whiplash.
Yep, I also keep Whiplash in it. I made one note of no American Sniper.
Yeah, that just is, no.
I couldn't even think of a good enough substitute, but I just wasn't impressed by that movie.
No, yeah, not really. All right, original song. So Glory won this one. Did you have any other feelings?
No, honestly, for best original song, it's not like I particularly loved or was moved by any. So Glory winning, that's fine by me.
Yeah.
And the nominees, I don't have any bones to pick, so it's fine. How about you, Kyle?
I like Lost Stars. I'm a big fan of Begin Again. I like the director of that, and I just think it's a nice movie. Obviously, we didn't watch it, so only I'm really able to speak on that. But I don't oppose Glory. I think Glory is a fine win as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think Everything Is Awesome needed to win that. I think it's a fun song, but yeah, I don't know. Original score. This one's interesting. So I had some amendments. What about you?
I did have some amendments, but okay. Let's start with yours.
Okay. So I took out Mr. Turner and I actually swapped in Guardians of the Galaxy. I really liked the score for Guardians of the Galaxy. I kept everything else otherwise the same, Grand Budapest, Imitation Game, Interstellar, and The Theory of Everything. I thought they had decent enough scores, but I kept it on the Grand Budapest Hotel. I think that was well-deserved.
I swapped out some things. I put Birdman in here. And okay. I will fight the Academy. Okay. I don't care. I loved the score for Birdman. And they didn't qualify it. But I bet you, like, this cleaned up so many awards for the score outside of the Academy.
That's fair.
And I'm wondering if it was allowed to wreak havoc in there, if it would win. So I have taken out the Imitation Game. I have slotted in Birdman. And then I gave Birdman the big win.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. I don't think we need to talk about foreign language film. I think we didn't watch
Did not
of that.
Watch them.
So we'll move right into animated feature film. I think there's a lot to talk about here.
Yes.
So I made some amendments. I think it's a pretty reasonable amendment. I took out the Box Trolls and I just clean put in the Lego Movie. Everything else I kept the same. So now my nominees are Big Hero 6, Lego Movie, How to Train Your Dragon, Song of the Sea, and Tale of Princess Kaguya. I gave it to the Lego Movie.
Interesting. I removed Big Hero 6. And, well, okay, here's the thing. I don't know who I care about for nominees in this because, like, I didn't feel like any in particular were that blow my socks off.
Mm.
I did end up also giving it to Lego Movie, but I'm going to couch that in the fact that I didn't see Princess Kaguya or The Song of the Sea.
Yeah.
And one of those could dethrone Lego, in my opinion, but not Hero 6.
I think the Lego Movie just had such beautiful animation and has kind of stood the test of time as kind of just being a pretty impactful movie and good story and easy to rewatch. So I don't think I would change that, even having seen all five of these nominees. I really like The Song of the Sea and I did like How to Train Your Dragon 2. I remember at the time thinking that if Lego Movie wasn't nominated, I wanted it to go to How to Train Your Dragon 2. And so if those nominees had stayed the same and we didn't get the Lego Movie for whatever reason, I would have given it to How to Train Your Dragon 2 even over Song of the Sea or Princess Kaguya, but I think the Lego Movie needs to be in there and deserve the win. Cinematography. I had some amendments. What about you?
I also had some amendments. So I have for my nominees, Birdman, The Grand Budapest. I left Ida, Mr. Turner, Unbroken. I didn't see those, so I'm not able to speak on that.
Right.
And I gave Birdman can continue the win. That one's fine.
I swapped out Ida, Mr. Turner, and Unbroken. I saw that Unbroken was shot by Roger Deakins, so I'm not going to say that that probably wasn't deserved because he is a great cinematographer. But because I didn't see that, I did swap them out. I put in Gone Girl, Interstellar, and Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. I thought all three of those were beautifully shot, and I ultimately still gave it to Birdman. So editing, I didn't change. I think Whiplash deserved that.
I did make one small change.
Okay.
I put Under the Skin in there.
Oh, good call. Yeah, that's fair.
So I got Under the Skin, Boyhood, Grand Budapest Hotel, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, and Whiplash. Whiplash kept the win.
Yes. Okay. Adapted screenplay. I made a lot of changes.
I got heavy with the edit button from this period on as well.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
What'd you change? So I have for my nominees, Gone Girl, Paddington. I left Inherent Vice. I didn't watch it. I like PTA though. Screw it. Edge of Tomorrow. And I left Whiplash in there and I let Whiplash win it. But Paddington was a thought. It was mulling around in the back of my brain.
Yeah, I ultimately knew that I wasn't going to give this to the Imitation Game like the Academy did. I even took it completely out.
Me too.
I also put in Paddington, Gone Girl, Edge of Tomorrow, and I also put in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh, I was thinking about that one. If I had watched Inherent Vice and felt more fair about removing it, Dawn was on the cusp of making it. So we had very similar thoughts on that.
I also gave it to Whiplash, though. I think because of how the category worked, it didn't need to be adapted screenplay.
No, it shouldn't have been, but...
No, but like, it is just one of the best screenplays of the year, and so I think even with that weird category mess, like, it still deserved a screenplay nomination and win. So,
That's exactly how I feel, because I'm giving Best Original to Birdman, but now we get to have it both ways. Both Whiplash and Birdman, two of our top two, will get a Best Screenplay, so...
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll move right into original screenplay. So the nominees were Birdman, Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Budapest, and Nightcrawler. Did you change anything there?
Yes, sir. I took out Foxcatcher and slotted in Interstellar.
That's so funny. That's exactly what I did, too. Yeah. I think that Interstellar was just so grand and so great, and Foxcatcher did not need to be there.
Foxcatcher was both the opposite of grand and great. Yeah.
I was considering some other ones, but then I never really landed that strongly on any of them. But I really like Nightcrawler being there. I think it was a really strong screenplay and really show it on screen. So
I agree.
All right, acting ones. Supporting actress, did you make any amendments?
What beats me up inside is throughout the season, I have had strong opinions on who should and shouldn't be the best supporting actress. Cut to me trying to remember who those were, and I could not. So I did not make any changes, but I am dubious that the Patricia Arquette win. She was good, but I feel like it could have gone somewhere else. I just forgot who.
Yeah.
How about you?
Having seen Wild, I don't know why Laura Dern is there. I mean, I get it. She's got a good performance in it, but she's really not in it like that much at all.
Interesting.
And so it's interesting that she got a nom for that. Obviously, Laura Dern is an amazing actress, but I changed out Meryl Streep for Carmen Ejogo as Coretta Scott King for Selma.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I think she deserved that nomination. Mm-hmm. I think she did a lot with what she was given, which, again, wasn't that much, but I think also deserved the nominee. I considered Emma Stone here for a minute, but I think I ultimately still landed on Patricia Arquette. Yeah, I don't know if I'm that attached to it, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
All right, supporting actor. I think this one is pretty much a lock and the win, but did you change any of the nominees?
No, because to me, this was a two-horse race. I really liked Mark Ruffalo in Foxcatcher.
Yeah, I kept him in too.
Yeah. And then the rest, Edward Norton deserves to be there. Robert Duvall, I don't remember. Yeah. I didn't see that movie, so I can't really say that. And then I just didn't care. J.K. Simmons is the winner, so I didn't bother moving things around.
I swapped Robert Duvall, and I put in Andy Serkis for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that's a good call. I like that.
I still kept it as J.K. Simmons because come on. That guy deserved that so strongly.
Yeah. And I would be too scared to take it away from him. He would beat me.
He would throw a chair at you across the room.
Yep.
All right. Best actress. I don't know if we have that much to say about it.
Nope.
I did watch a few of the other ones. We saw two of them as part of the season, and I've seen four of them in total. I didn't watch Marion Cotillard, but I did still say that Julianne Moore probably deserved it. She was just really great in Still Alice. I think that was the best part of Still Alice, too, so I'm going to keep it with her.
I'll take your word for it. I didn't see enough to really have any strong thoughts on that one.
Best actor, though. So Steve Carell, Bradley Cooper, Benedict Cumberbatch, Michael Keaton, Eddie Redmayne. Did you swap anybody?
I did. I put David Oyelowo in.
Yep.
Because I think that was quite the snub.
Yes, definitely.
But I still left it with Eddie Redmayne as the winner.
Yeah.
And who did I remove? Was anything related to American Sniper in here?
Yeah, Bradley Cooper was in there.
Bradley Cooper's gone. David Oyelowo.
Yeah.
How about you?
I swapped out Steve Carell and Bradley Cooper. Steve Carell was good, but I don't know if he did enough in this to warrant best actor. And so I swapped in David Oyelowo and Jake Gyllenhaal for Nightcrawler.
Oh, that's true. I also did put Jake Gyllenhaal in. Amazing. So I removed the second person. I forgot about that. Because in my mind, he is just such a lock to have been here in the first place that I forgot that I had to put him there myself.
Yeah. It's just, that seemed like a no brainer. It's amazing that he wasn't there. And same with Oyelowo. Like, why wasn't he there? So strange. But anyways, we're here to amend that. I still did keep it as Eddie Redmayne, though. I think just the physicality and the way that he emulated Stephen Hawking was too good not to.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I looked at Michael Keaton for a minute and I even considered Jake Gyllenhaal as taking it. But I think Eddie Redmayne was just too strong.
That role was insane.
Yeah.
The other person I took out was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, okay.
Because he's just, it's that one character that he did for so long. So you know what? Change it up. Fresher style.
Best director.
I made a little bit of a swappy swoo here.
Me too.
I put Matt Reeves in and I removed Morton Tilden.
Yeah, I also put Matt Reeves in and removed Morton Tilden. I also removed Bennett Miller for Foxcatcher and put in Nolan for Interstellar.
Oh my God. I did that too.
Yes, let's go. Yeah, so our Snubs and Dubs official Best Director nominees are Alejandro G. Iñárritu, Linklater, Nolan, Anderson, and Reeves. Did you change the winner or did you keep it as Iñárritu?
Nope, kept it as Iñárritu.
I also kept it as Iñárritu. That is a no-brainer.
That was pulled off with just putting that movie together. Insane.
Mm-hmm. Okay, here we are. We made it. Best Picture. Now, let's start off by reviewing our rankings for the season, because I think that's something that we need to go over and place Birdman to start.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to read off my rankings for the season?
I would love to. Do you want me to read your final one or the final before final Birdman?
Before Birdman. Right. I will say I didn't change any of my order. I considered moving some stuff around and I toyed with kind of in the middle, but at the end of the day, I felt like it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
It was like, it wasn't even within my top 10. And I felt my top 10 was pretty much on par with what I was going to stick with. Mm-hmm. So
I similarly also only really wanted to change movies in the middle and it doesn't really matter, but I did it anyway.
Okay.
So we'll go over my changes after.
All right.
But Kyle, pre-Birdman, you have top to bottom Whiplash, Grand Budapest Hotel, Paddington, Captain America, Guardians of the Galaxy, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Interstellar, Chef, Gone Girl, Nightcrawler, Edge of Tomorrow, Under the Skin, Lego, Selma, John Wick, What We Do in the Shadows, Boyhood, How to Train Your Dragon 2, Snowpiercer, Babadook, Imitation Game, Big Hero 6, Foxcatcher, American Sniper, The Theory of Everything. Where is Birdman?
So this was a huge debate.
Massive.
Because I had three that were perfect top five.
Could have been any of them.
Or perfect five movies. Obviously, Whiplash is at my top right now. So it was kind of dancing around there.
Mm-hmm.
I did put it at number one.
Oh, my God. Ladies and folks, there it is. Number one, Birdman for Kyle. Pushes everything down by one. So that's easy.
It's easy.
For myself, pre-Birdman, I have Grand Budapest Hotel, Whiplash, Paddington, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Interstellar, Gone Girl, Nightcrawler, John Wick, Selma, Guardians of the Galaxy, What We Do in the Shadows, Under the Skin, Edge of Tomorrow, Chef, Lego, Babadook, Captain America, Snowpiercer, How to Train a Dragon 2, Boyhood, Big Hero 6, The Theory of Everything, Imitation Game, Foxcatcher, and American Sniper. Kyle, can't keep a bird down. It's going right to the top.
Oh,
also,
baby,
my number one is Birdman.
What did you move around?
So I just did a little swappy swoop. So I moved around Lego, Edge of Tomorrow, Babadook, and Chef.
Right.
Felt like I didn't respect Lego enough. So I moved that one. What ended up happening is that Lego went from number 16 up to number 14. Edge of Tomorrow got shifted down to 15. Chef got switched down to 16.
Right.
And that's kind of... Oh, no. Chef got down to 17, sorry. Babadook moved up to 16.
Oh, interesting.
So really minimal stuff happened there. The top and the bottom. That's a lock.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Wow. Both of us, Birdman at the top.
Yeah.
Well, let's jump back to Best Picture then. So again, the nominees were American Sniper, Birdman, Boyhood, Grand Budapest, Imitation Game, Selma, Theory of Everything, and Whiplash. Now, you don't necessarily have to say the same nominees as what your ranking is.
Mm-hmm.
So what were your eight nominees?
My eight nominees for Best Picture were Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance, Interstellar, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Nightcrawler, Selma, Gone Girl, and Whiplash.
Nice.
Kyle, what were yours?
Mine were Birdman, Boyhood, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Gone Girl, Grand Budapest, Interstellar, Selma, and Whiplash. Interesting.
Very similar.
Yes. In my top, whatever, five, I have two Marvel movies and Paddington. They're not here. I think Paddington might have been on the outside if it was a 10, and also Nightcrawler. But I don't think the Marvel movies were strong enough to be warranted for Best Picture. I think I just love them a lot and wanted them up in my rankings, but they're not here.
Yeah. I felt with Paddington, it was close.
Yeah.
But just looking at it, it was the only one from my top eight that I skipped. Something just didn't feel right about it.
What is your winner though?
Kyle, my winner for Best Picture at the 2014 Oscar Best Picture Super Amazing Movie Cat winner is Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. Wow.
Yay, we did it well. Good job, Jason.
Kyle, who is your best picture winner?
My best picture winner for the 87th Academy Awards is also Birdman or The Unexpected Virtue of Ignorance. I think they made the right call.
I agree.
It was the best movie of this year.
Yeah.
Pretty much far and beyond. Whiplash, close second for me.
Mm-hmm.
And also Grand Budapest, but this was the best, I think, by far.
Yeah. You know what I don't want to have to do? Choose between those two for real.
Yes.
Because I would be sweating for weeks. I would just be pouring sweat trying to think of which movie deserved it, because I would be pretty much exactly equally happy with Whiplash winning it. They both very good movies that deserve to win, but I think Birdman was just a whole different beast.
Yes.
Like Whiplash was a fantastic movie, but Birdman was that plus just more. It was just something a little different.
All right. Well, I do want to pose this question to you.
Yes.
Your last year's winner was Bound.
Yeah.
Does Birdman beat Bound?
Oh, that's hard. I think for me personally, as a human being on this great planet we call Earth, I think it's Birdman.
Yeah.
I think it's not even super close.
Mm.
I feel the same way that Bound was a fantastic movie.
Yes.
Had so much that I like to see in a movie.
Yeah.
But Birdman just sticks with me more. It just has, it's different enough. It's just more like art. It's just what I really enjoy about watching the movies. It doesn't explain anything.
Yeah.
It has just some weird shit in there that you just roll with. And oh, baby, you roll with it.
Absolutely. My best from last year was Fargo.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that Birdman beats Fargo. I think it is just such a good movie.
It really is.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be a question we're going to be coming back to in later seasons too, is if our pick for the best movie will beat Birdman, because Birdman is just one of the best movies I think I've ever seen. So it's going to be hard.
Yeah. Something about Birdman, it makes me feel the way that reading a really good book does.
Yes.
And I almost was an English major going into university.
Wow.
And then I got bored, and then I switched to accounting. Somehow the more exciting option, but I finished backwards. That one.
Yeah.
But Birdman just made me feel the way that a really good, insightful book does.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed that about it.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Jason, that's it. That's season two.
God, what? No, we just started.
I know.
Last week.
Really?
Nightcrawler happened on Tuesday. It's Friday now. How is it over?
I don't know, but it was a good season.
It was a really enjoyable season.
All right. Well, as we put a bow on the 87th Academy Awards, we can now look ahead.
Oh my God.
For what's next for Snubs and Dubs as we enter season three.
Dun, dun, dun. When we're at the movies, we're not alone, because we're sitting there watching the nominees for Best Picture of the Year, which are A Beautiful Mind, Brian Grazer and Ron Howard producers. Gosford Park, Robert Altman, Bob Balaban, and David Levy, producers. In the Bedroom, Graham Leader, Ross Katz, and Todd Field, producers. The Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, Peter Jackson, Fran Walsh, and Darian Osborne, producers. Moulin Rouge, Martin Brown, Baz Luhrmann, and Fred Barron, producers. And the Oscar goes to A Beautiful Mind, Brian Grazer, Ron Howard, producer.
That's right. Next season, we are talking about the 74th Academy Award.
Ooh.
That is featuring the films from the year 2001.
Oh, I can't wait.
Season three starts next week, Jason.
Wow.
You don't even have to wait.
We don't really take a break.
Every season I look at you and I'm like, do you want to take a break? Do you want a week off or something? And we're like, absolutely not.
Nah, I feel like because we built it around a 26 week run, that if we were to bump it back by a week, I would feel so off. I'd be like, man, we almost synced this up to a year, but we had to take a breather. We couldn't watch a movie and talk about it for a week. Are you kidding?
No. One week we'll come across week where it's going to happen, but who knows? Well, do you have any final thoughts about this season, this year, 2014, 87th Academy Awards, Birdman?
It's so hard to sum up my thoughts for an entire year of movies. When we've been doing this for so long, watching so many movies, I guess my last thought is, what the fuck did Jake Gyllenhaal do to the Academy? This was a question I had on week one, yeah. And here we are 6 months later, and my question is, what did he do to them?
Yeah.
And there's not been an answer.
Still to this day.
Yep.
I will say that after last season, I was exhausted with 1996 movies. Yeah. I was done. I was ready to call it, and I was ready to put that year behind me. I was going to stop saying that I was born in 96. I was done. But as this year, I would have been happy to keep watching a few more.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I'm excited. 2001. Next season. Let's do it.
We'll see you next week for that.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening to the Snubs and Dubs season 2 finale. As always, you can find us everywhere on social media at Snubs and Dubs. That's on Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd, etc. We're also on Good Pods, so make sure to check us out there and join our official Discord. We'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on all of these films from this year or on this episode. So please send us a tweet or a message with a question, recommendation, or anything else. I'm also at Kyle Tobiasen on Twitter, and Jason is at Wendy_Mills. Of course, all of those links will be in the show notes. Make sure to leave a 5-star review, share the show to everyone you know, and check back next week for the first episode of season 3. Here is a sneak peek of the film we're going to talk about.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what? Dear Mr. Potter, we are pleased to inform you that you have been accepted at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
In a few moments, you will pass through these doors and join your classmates.
That's right. Season 3 kicks off with Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone or Sorcerer's Stone or whatever area of the world you're in. It'll be different. So make sure to rewatch it probably before next episode. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Thanks for listening. That's a wrap. Bye.
I really can't wait to watch a Harry Potter movie for Snubs and Dubs, and I've definitely never thrown that out as an example of something I wouldn't care about. Can't wait.